Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Life Change. If you are here for a first-time guest, please come back next week when Corb's here. And actually, I don't think he'll be here next week either. They are on vacation. They're in Florida. They're going to do Disney today. And so if you know Corb, he's pretty frugal. Pray for him, because if you've ever been to Disney, you know it's not frugal. And then they're going to go on to Alabama and spend some time with Corbin's parents. They winter down there, so just pray for their time away, that they'll have a time of refreshing with their family, and then safe trip back. First-time guests, we're especially glad that you are here. In the seat back in front of you, you'll find what we call a Connect card. Please pull that out and fill it out for us, and then drop it in the offering a little while later. Corbin and I are pretty good buddies. We like to run together. There's some other guys in the church that we run together. And so, I don't know, somewhere around July or August, Corbin, Brandon Kahn, Travis Lindner, and I all decided that we were going to run a half marathon in the woods. And yeah, not the best idea. If you don't know how long a half marathon is, it's 13.1 miles. Just to give you some perspective, from Life Change Church to the center of Johnstown, like 13 and 6, not 13. You will not find Johnstown if you stay on 13. But 37 and 62, right, the center of Johnstown, is about 13 and a half miles. So I'm like, okay, let's go, Life Change. We're headed to Johnstown. You guys would get in your cars because you're smart. We, like, run it because we're not as smart. And so... we decided we're going to run this half marathon. It is a long way. In fact, it's the furthest that I've ever run. It's difficult to run that far. It's even harder to do a trail run that far because you're constantly roots and rocks and uneven ground and climbing and descending and just craziness. And it's even further when you miss the trail marker and add an extra half mile to your already way too long run, right? And so, but there's one thing I've learned in running, and it's this. It requires perseverance. It requires overcoming, and it requires training. Let's just say that Travis and I may have overlooked that part. We did not put a lot of stock in training. We're like, we're runners. We got this. We know what we're doing. We did not have anything. It was bad. And so the beginning of the run for me was really bad. Terrible. In fact, most of the starts of my runs are bad. It takes me a couple of miles to regulate, to get my breathing right with matching my stride. It was horrible. I was coughing like crazy. Everybody was gone. Corb actually come back to check on me like, dude, you're all right? I'm like, just go, man. And so these guys have run with me enough to know like I'm eventually going to click and get it. And for you runners, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So finally, like mile two and a half, mile three, I'm feeling good, caught up to Trav. We ran for a while together. Then like, okay, I got to go because I'm in the zone. And so get to mile five. That's where the aid station is. And for me, an aid station looks like this. A couple glasses of pickle juice. Tastes terrible, but hits your body right away. Some banana, a couple cookies for sugar. So hit the aid station, boom. As soon as you come off mile five, you cross a bridge, and then there's a climb. Well, I start climbing, and I'm climbing. And I'm climbing, and I'm watching the guys in front of me, and we're climbing, and we're climbing. We get to the top of the hill. Where are the other runners? Like, what? Why is there only four people up at the top, and why is nobody else coming up the hill? We went the wrong way. It was like a quarter mile up this sucker, and the whole time I'm thinking, these guys are jerks. Whoever planned this run is evil. Why is the biggest climb of the run right after the aid station? You're the devil, right? And then we had to go back down, which you think going down is easy? No, it's not on a trail. And so finally we find the trail marker. Boom, we're back with the group, and we're running. And then, again, cruelty. Like, it's around a lake. If you've ever been to Burr Oaks State Park, that's where it is. And, like, you come out of the woods, you can see the aid station. It's 3 miles away. But you could see it across the lake. And so we're running, running, running. Get to aid station at mile 8. same thing, refuel, get back into the run. Mile 9, like, I'm starting to hurt. I'm feeling it. Mile 10, I'm really starting to feel it. Now, I'd never run further than 10 and a half. We did a 10 and a half down at Salt Fork. I'm like, gassed, man. Did you miss the part that I said that I didn't train? Like, I'm dying at this point. My body hurts. My feet feel like they're 100 pounds each. Like, my soul hurt. It was so bad. And it's still like this, right? And when you climb, it's like all calf muscle. My calf muscles were gone. There was no calf muscle. It was terrible. But I just kept pushing, and I kept overcoming, and I chose to persevere. And this is going to sound really ridiculous, but when you run that kind of distance, like, you have to play you got to play mind games with yourself, right? So every step I took after 10 and a half miles was a new personal record for me. I wanted to do nothing but quit. But with every step, I'm like, hey, man, you just set a new personal record. Hey, there's another one. And I just set another new personal record. And honestly, there was times that was the only thing that kept me going. And finally, you get up out of the woods at about mile 12, and I'm like, yes, I'm out of the woods. But if you've ever trail run, a trail running shoe is totally different than a pavement running shoe. Trail runners are meant to run on trails, not on pavement. And when you run on pavement and trail runners, it's like, bah, 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 into the bottom of your foot. You're already 12 miles in. You're already totally out of gas. Your whole body already hurts. And now you got a mile to go. And every step you take, it's like a jackhammer into the bottom of your foot. It was terrible. Get down the road, come up this hill, and boom. Like the Shekinah glory of Jesus shone down. There was the finish line, but it was still about a quarter of a mile away. But that whole quarter mile is lined with runners that have already finished, lined with family members. There's these two ladies I don't even know that are like, Daryl, get it, man. I'm like, hey, I'm pretty famous. And I see the finish line, and I see Travis, and I see Corbin, who finished like an hour ago because they trained. And I'm like, I got to go, because I'm the kind of runner that once I see the finish line, it doesn't matter how fatigued I am, whatever I got left in the tank, it's coming out. And I sprint to the line as hard as I can because I have to finish strong. Across that finish line, totally out of gas. Got to do a couple laps of cool down. Brandon and Corbin like, yeah. So then we're in the clubhouse waiting. Travis coming up behind me. Here comes Sonia Linder and Jess. They're like, Daryl, good job, man. Way to ignore us at the top of the hill. I'm like, what? Yeah, that was us. That was like, Daryl. He totally burst my bubble, man. I thought, like, what? And so it took perseverance to finish. Even though my wife's not a runner, when I got home, she was like, babe, I'm super proud of you. You're putting your half marathon sticker on your car, right? You better dang believe I'm putting that baby on my car. And it says half and full, so you don't know which one I ran. Right? Brandon Kahn is rocking his half and full shirt right now, right? Now, Brandon's a little bit of a freak. Like, in the summer, he's running 100K, which is like 60 miles. Don't run the brand. And so, some of you have never run a half marathon. In fact, some of you have never run a half mile. But I will suggest this morning. You have your own marathon. You have your own distance that you've had to run. You have your own struggle that you had to overcome. I want to suggest to you today that it requires perseverance. It requires dedication. It requires endurance. Sometimes at the start, it seems monumental. Sometimes it seems minuscule. Honestly, I went into this sucker like, no big deal, man. Part of it is because I was misled by your pastor. He was like, dude, hey, and this run was my idea. Let me be clear about this. My mother-in-law has a cottage at Baroque. Like, this is our family lake. My son learned how to fish there, boat there, swim there. That's why I'm like, do Baroque for Daryl. Don't do Baroque for Daryl, please. So Corbin was like, dude, you got it. We did 10 and a half at Salt Fork. No big deal. I'm like, that's right. It is no big deal. No, it was a big, big deal. It was minuscule in my mind, but once I started, it was way bigger than I thought. Maybe for some of you, it's college. Maybe it's an undergrad degree or a graduate or a post-grad degree. Maybe it's a career field that you've chosen that you're chasing. Maybe it's a dream you're pursuing. Maybe you're married. Listen, can I go there? Can I have this conversation? Jay and Hannah just got married yesterday, right? They're babies. They're newlyweds. Old folks, don't talk to them. Let them dream. Let them dream. Right? Marriage is a marathon, is it not? There are times there are things that you have to overcome. There are times it's going to hurt, but you just have to keep going. I want you to close your eyes for a second. Think about your marathon. Go to your moment. Go to whatever that task is that you're pursuing. Maybe you're in the middle right now. Maybe you're mile 5, 6, 7, 8, and you're tired, and you're wearing out, and you're getting fatigued. And your marathon is unique to you. It's specific to you. Think about it. Think about how you feel right now. Did you train? Were you prepared for it? How did you feel at the start? I always struggle at the start of my run. What about the middle? What about the end? Is it something you've already accomplished? Did you persevere? Maybe you're still running right now. Maybe you didn't finish. What do you feel? Joy? Fatigue? Accomplishment? Disappointment? Think about your memories of that time. Are they good? Do they make you smile in your heart? Or do they make you sad? Do they cause you pain? You can go ahead and open your eyes. We've been in our series entitled Jesus since the start of the year. And for the first several weeks, we looked at who Jesus the man was. Who he was. And now we're entering into his teachings. Last week, we started looking at his parables. We're going to continue with that today with the parable of the sower. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. If you don't have your Bible, you can download the YouVersion Bible app. It is a great app to take with you wherever you go and read your Bible daily. So Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, this is the central text of this morning's message. And it says this, "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and in a good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." They bear fruit with perseverance. Now we're going to look at this in several different texts this morning, several different versions of the Bible, and I want you to pay attention to the language. This is the New American Standard. It's what we just read. "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold fast and bear fruit with perseverance." The ESV, or the English Standard Version, says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast and in an honest and in a good heart. They bear fruit with patience. But the seed in the good earth," says the message, "these are the good hearts who sees the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest." King James, which if you're high church, you believe is the only version of the Bible. "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And then finally, in the New International Version, it says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." That language is the same, church. Hold fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Bear fruit with patience. Hold on to it no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Keep it. Bring forth fruit with patience. You hear the word, retain the word, and by persevering, produce a crop. Church, as believers in Jesus Christ, that is the goal. That is what we are to be pursuing. In this morning's message, we're going to be talking about perseverance. And I want to just give you a little bit of the Greek of what that means. So the New Testament, written in Greek, right? And so when you want to have an understanding of what it really means, we break down the Greek passage. And this is what it says. This is, wow, my computer just freaked out. Gone. I'll nutshell for you. This is what it says. Perseverance, endurance, dedication, commitment to the goal, unswerving in your purpose. Are you unswerving in your purpose? Are you dedicated to not being moved regardless of what you experience, regardless of what you encounter along the way? Are you committed to the cause of Christ? Are you faithful to your faith? Those are some characteristics that I can get behind, right? Who has grown children? Who has children they're still raising? I've grown and I still have children that I'm raising, right? Aren't these the characteristics and the qualities that we want for our children? To be committed to the cause of Christ? To be dedicated to their purpose, regardless of what they may encounter along the way? To be steadfast? To be loyal in their faith? To stand strong no matter how difficult the storm? Listen, as a parent of children who are both currently in the dating age and those who are beyond, my oldest son is married. These are the qualities that I look for as a dad and the boyfriend or the girlfriend, right? As parents. Isn't this what you look for one day? Hey, Dad, I got this new girlfriend. Check it out. I got this new boyfriend. Like, all right, bring him to dinner because it's going to be examination time. Right? Look, hey, come on, Kayla, give me an amen. It's time to meet Dad. Right? We look for those kind of characteristics because that's the kind of quality we want in our child's prospective spouse. Right? And then they're like, Dad, I got engaged. Whoa, let's talk. Right? But this is what we are looking for. Here's my question to you, church, and this pertains to both parents of grown children and parents of young children. Are they qualities that you display? Do you display a faithfulness to your faith? Do you display loyalty to God? Do you display an unwavering commitment to your purpose planned for you by your Creator? Do you stand fast no matter how difficult the storm? Are you committed to your deliberate purpose? The parable of the sower can be found in three places in Scripture. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23. And Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 15. We're going to look at it from two different places this morning. I'm going to read the parable from Mark chapter 4, and then I'm going to read the explanation from Luke chapter 8. So here we go. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. He began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and he sat down. The whole crowd was by the sea on the land, and it was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Let me just stop you right there. When Jesus says, listen to this, probably listen, right? He says, listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and they ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell into the ground of good soil. And as they grew up, they increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, I did not grow up in rural America, I did not grow up in even semi-rural America. I grew up in to the neighbor. Can you please pass the toilet paper? We're out. I grew up in the city, legit, like 15 feet between my house and the neighbor's house. So I'm really thankful that Jesus explained this parable because I would not have a clue what he was talking about. And this is verse 11 of Luke chapter 8. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and in a good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Church, I'm going to suggest to you today that the parable of the sower is not just about seed and planting and harvest, but it's about perseverance. It's about dedication to your faith. It's about being loyal to the call of Christ on your life. It's about being unwaveringly committed to the purpose he has created you for. We see four kinds of soil in the passage of Scripture. One, some fell by the road. Right? Some fell by the road. The road is hard. It is packed down. It is compressed. You cannot penetrate it. Some fell by rocky soil. Now, I realized as I was sitting in my seat, this really looked like a bowl of potatoes. It is not. It is rocky soil. Right? And some fell by thorny ground. I cut these thorns down out of my yard this morning, and even with gloves on, I still cut my hand. Right? Thorns hurt, church. They're not comfortable. And some fell into the good soil. Those are the four kinds of soil. These are the results. For the seed that fell by the road, the birds came and ate it up. Why? Because it can't penetrate that. It can't get through that. The seed just sits on the surface of the soil. It goes nowhere. Some fell on the rocky ground without much soil. And what originally happens is it originally starts to grow and some plants come. They receive the word of God with joy, but there's no root. So they believe for a while, and in times of temptation, they fall away. Some falls into the ground and it's choked out by the thorns. It's covered by the thorns. And the word tells us that the thorns in our life are our worries, our concerns, the things that cause stress. But don't miss this. It's not just our worries and our concerns. It's also our distractions. It's our pleasures of life. It's pursuing things outside of God, the riches and the pleasures of life that bring no fruit to maturity. And then finally, we have the good soil. Those are the ones that hear the word in an honest and in a good heart. They hold fast to it, and they bear fruit with perseverance. I don't want you to miss this part, church. John 8, verse 11 tells us that the seed in this passage of Scripture is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. It's the Holy Scriptures. The Word is the seed. It's to be planted. A seed has to die in order to fulfill its purpose. It has to be fertilized and nurtured. It is to produce growth. It is to produce fruit. And the place it is to do that is in your life. The word of God is to be planted in you. It is to produce growth in you. It is to produce fruit in you. John tells us that Jesus Christ is the word made flesh. He died, just like a seed has to die, to bring forth life, to produce maturity in you, and to produce maturity in me. No place in this parable do we see the seed change. But what we do see change are the soils. Church, your heart is the soil. You are the soil. I don't know about you, but times in my life, I've questioned, God, where are you? Why am I not seeing your word in effect in my life? Why are your promises not coming to pass for me? And he always comes back with this. Where are you? Where are you? Is your heart hard towards me? Is your soil shallow? Are you caught up with your worries and your concerns and pursuing desires outside of my plan for your life? Or are you rich and fertile? And I can tell you the answer for Daryl Beckett and only Daryl Beckett. What I know is in me, when the Word of God is not in full effect in my life, and I don't see His promises being manifested, it's always because I'm one of these three. See, the seed doesn't change, church. The soil changes. And guess who has the power to determine what soil is at work in your life? You. You have the power to choose which soil you are. So let's look at the soil a little bit. We know the first one is the downtrodden path. When you look at that passage of Scripture, they didn't have all these fancy pieces of machinery to plant seed the way we do today. They had a satchel that they carried over their back, and they would reach in and grab a handful and scatter seed and reach in and grab a handful and scatter seed. Along the field, there were roads that had been downtrodden. They had been trampled. And we know, we've already discussed this. Now, this is a piece of, actually, cinder block out of my barn. But we know the seed's not going to go any further than that. It's sitting right on top. If you've ever spent any time in the woods, whether you're a trail runner, a hiker, a hunter, you know the path has been downtrodden. Like when we run in Black Hand, we run in Dillon, we run in Spring Valley. Like we know the trail is going to be there because it's been established by being beaten down and beaten down and beaten down, trodden on over and over and over. Church, our hearts can be the same way. First of all, we all start on the same ground. The Word tells us that we're born into sin. So our hearts are born hard towards Christ because sin will harden your heart towards Christ. And the Word says it can't get through there. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you start coming towards this soil over here. The Holy Spirit's already begun to do a work in your life. He's already softening that ground. Church, as believers, when we choose sin, we go right back to this. Sin, and I'm not, like, listen, I want to be clear about what I mean when we say choose sin. Like, driving down the road, having that little moment, Corb showed Prince William, I think it was, like, whoop, oh, just kidding, last week. Like, what, I'm not talking about in just a moment of reaction. I'm talking about choosing sin. Has no place in the life of a believer, and it's certainly going to harden your heart against Jesus Christ. You're trampled on by your choices. You're downtrodden by choices other people in your life have made. The Word cannot penetrate that. Don't miss this. The devil comes immediately to steal the Word, which is the seed. Church, sin will always harden your heart towards Jesus Christ. And a hard heart will not receive the Word. The rocky soil. Like, hey man, this is not too bad of a place to be, right? Like the seed can get in there a little bit, right? The Bible even says that, hey, they start to grow up, right? Start to take a little play. You ever drive down the road? In the country, you see the shoulder of the roads all like gravelly, yet there's weeds growing out of it. Like, what? Where there's nothing. Right? There's no place for roots to grow in this kind of soil. I see this happen in youth ministry all the time. And I also see it happen in adult ministry. These folks right here, they're typically emotionally driven. You respond to God emotionally instead of spiritually. You're like, wrestle with God, like, oh God, if you will only just do this one amazing thing for me and intercede on my behalf and interject and change the trajectory of my life, then I promise I will follow you forever. And then in the car ride home, you're cussing your wife out. Right? It's because it's just an emotional response. And what the word says is you start to experience some growth, but as soon as you run into a test, as soon as you run into a trial, as soon as you run into a temptation, done with you, God. And what happens? Whatever growth you did experience withers and it dies and it's gone. And you're right back to square one, right back to a hard heart. Church, you have to have depth in your life. And don't miss it. It says, hey, they received the word with joy. But then, boom. As soon as you hit a wall, you're done. The thorny ground. Listen, man, any volunteers? You want to come pick it up? Squeeze it a little bit? It's not comfortable. Right? It's not comfortable. My daughter, Kayla, so I was like, Dad, I can tell you were trail running again today. You got about 4 more scratches on your leg, right? Because when you trail run, you encounter the thorns because the trail is downtrodden, but the thorns overhang. I'm going to tell you what's worse than running into thorns, riding into them. Corbin talked about his shoulder last week, mountain biking. We ride together. Like, dude, when you're down a hill and a thorn hits you in the face, it is not good. Not good. The word tells us that the thorns are our worries. What are the things that cause you stress in your life? What are the things that you lay awake and think about? And I notice I didn't say dream about. I said think about. The things you fret over. How am I going to pay the mortgage this month? We're overextended on this bill, overextended on that bill. We've been irresponsible in our finances. Now it's all catching up. Oh, my marriage is suffering right now. When is my wife ever going to get it? When is my husband ever going to figure it out? What about my kids? They're not making decisions that I support. God, fix them. Right? What if I lose my job this week? Oh, I got a bad report from the doctor. What's going to happen? Am I going to make it? Am I going to survive? And we just consume ourselves with worry and fear and doubt. But the other part of that passage of Scripture is being deceived by the riches of this world. What are you pursuing that is not on the path that Christ has for you? What are you chasing after that is not a part of your defined purpose as established by your Creator? Those are the thorns in your life, and the Bible says that they will choke out the truth of the Word of God. These folks right here, they're a little further down the road. Seed can't get in here at all. Start to plant but wither. These folks right here even start to see some fruit, right? It says that they bring fruit but not to maturity. Have you ever eaten a piece of fruit that's not ripe? It's terrible. It's terrible. Right? These folks, they have that little apple. Like, it's gone from a blossom to an apple. But it's not ripe yet. And it never becomes ripe, which means it can never fulfill its purpose. Because apples were meant to mature so that you can partake of them and enjoy them. But folks, there's a better choice. There's a good soil. There's a rich soil that when the seed gets in there, it can get down into the soil. It has plenty of room to take root. It can be nurtured. It can grow. And it can bring fruit that perseveres, that overcomes, that endures and meets its purpose. So what's the takeaway? You keep your ground fertile. You determine which one of these four soils you are. The seed doesn't change, church. It's your heart that changes. As a believer in Christ, if you have unrepentant sin in your life, your heart is hard towards God. Right? Some of us in this room today that have accepted Christ as our Savior are right here because we have a sin that we refuse to lay down, yet we want mature fruit. I'm going to go back to what I said a little while ago. God, where are you in my life? Why are you not at work? If you have a sin in your life you refuse to lay down, that is why. That's the reason. You are the reason. Because the word of God cannot penetrate the hardness of your heart. How do you get rid of that? You repent. You repent. Just like you did the day you confessed him as your Lord and Savior. You confess your sin to him. And then you find a brother or a sister or multiple that can encourage you, that you're honest with, that you can say, hey, I'm still struggling here and I need a support network to make sure I stay clean from that. Because here's what I found in my personal life and in my time in ministry. If you run with the dogs, you're going to be a dog. Right? You can't stay sin-free from X if the people you're hanging out with are doing X. And we all know that there are some pretty clear sins in Scripture, like murder, adultery, lie, like, right? We know those ones, and we're really good at saying, oh, I'm clean, I'm good, I'm not. But Paul tells us everything is legal, not everything is beneficial. And he also tells us that you have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. And if Jesus reveals to you personally, individually, stay away from that, and you don't stay away from it, it's sin for you. It might not be for me, but it is for you because Jesus has given you clear instruction. It also tells us if he's telling you to do this over here and you do that over there, you're in sin because you're in disobedience. And those are the gray areas. Those are the things that are a part of your personal relationship with Jesus, and they're going to be different than my personal relationship with Jesus. So if you have sin in your life, repent. Get rid of the hard-heartedness in your heart. This stuff right here, this rocky soil, this place that the seed can get in, but it doesn't take any root. How do you get rid of that? You get rid of that by YouVersion. YouVersion Bible app. That's how you get rid of it. Spend time in the Word. All the leaders make fun of Corbin for plugging YouVersion every Sunday and the way he plugs it. We're like, dude, like, come on, bro. But here's why he plugs it. This 1 hour Sunday morning, not enough. You need the Word of God every day. Right? Married folks, like, you want to spend time with your spouse every day. Maybe not every day if things are bad. But here's what I found. It doesn't get better if you don't spend time. It doesn't get better if you don't spend time. And so if you're not experiencing sustainable growth in your life with Jesus Christ, it ain't going to change if you don't spend time with him. The way you get that ground to a place where it can start to take root is spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Dedicate yourself to the practice of being a Christian. John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot serve Jesus without Jesus, church. I've tried and I've failed every time. If you want to create soil that the seed of God can take root in, you have to spend time in the Word. You have to spend time in prayer. Find a support group. Guys, we have a meeting every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. here at church where guys can just be real and say, I'm struggling to grow in my relationship with God. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And just yesterday, we talked about the importance of honesty. Like, who cares if eight guys in a room say, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Let's go home. Everybody's good. We don't need to be here. You have to be honest so that we can push each other to growth, but you also have to be safe for the guy sitting next to you to be honest, right? You have to spend time with Christ if you're going to grow in Christ. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. You want these thorns? Listen, man, this does not feel good to pick up. I had gloves on when I cut these down, and I still cut my hand. It went right through my glove. You don't like all the ouchiness of your worries? Stop worrying. You don't like all the pain that the thorns are creating in your life? Stop pursuing things outside the purpose of God for your life. Listen to what Matthew 6 says. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil. They do not spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Ye of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? The Gentiles seek after these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So you get rid of the sin in your life, you repent, you're spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in Christian fellowship. You've cast all your cares on Jesus. You're no longer being consumed with your doubts, your worries, your fears. You're committing yourself to pursue the purpose that he's placed in you. Now, church, now you have good soil. Now your heart is in a condition that the Word can get in there and can penetrate and can establish roots and can bring forth fruit to maturity. Church, the parable of the sower is not just about planting and growing. It's about perseverance. Are you loyal to your faith? As the worship team makes its way back up, I want to challenge you this morning. Which one of the four soils are you? Are you sitting before God asking him why he's not at work in your life? Are you at work in his? Are you at work in his? Do you have unrepentant sin in your life? Are you spending time with him in the Word and prayer and Christian fellowship? Are you consumed with your worries? Are you pursuing a path that he didn't place you on? Or are you rich in him? I can't answer for you, but I know for me. And I've been those three. It's not good. And if I'm being completely honest right now, I'm this one. I'm the thorns. I'm the thorns right now. The stresses of my life are completely overwhelming me. And you know who it has an impact on? Not just me. Those two ladies sitting right there. And the rest of my home. You know who else it has an impact on? The people in this church I have a responsibility for leading. My co-workers. This congregation. See, church, we impact lives around us. And when you're one of those three, it's not a good impact. We are created to be this. To be this soil over here. To produce fruit. And what fruit is it that we produce? It's Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And that's not a buffet, church, where you get to pick and choose. You're supposed to have all of them. And to bring them to maturity. Because that person, listen, we've all met the Christian. Maybe sometimes we are the Christian. Nobody wants to be around. But that's what a Christian looks like. I don't want anything to do with them. Guess what? This person, a person that displays love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that's a person you want to be around. That's a person you want to be like. Because that person reflects the image of Christ. Go ahead and pull out the Connect card in the seat back in front of you. Maybe you don't know this Jesus I've spoken of at all. Maybe your heart is completely hard to the gospel message because you've been downtrodden and you've been beaten over and over and over and over. And you don't know how to trust because your trust has been completely broken. But you're tired of the pain. God can soften your heart today. He can begin to break up that hardness. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to repent of your sin that causes that hardness, go ahead and mark on your Connect card that you would like to receive Christ. Believer, if you are that guy and you have sin, repent of it. Maybe Jesus is asking you, you're one of these right here. Maybe you're this guy, you're distracted because you're chasing a different path. And the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now. There's a spot on your card that you can mark. Jesus is asking me too. I encourage you to fill that out. Corbin will see these. You will be prayed for. And if you want to be connected and contacted, let us know. We'll get together with you. Maybe you're this guy over here. Continue to tend your soil. Continue to pay attention. Continue to water it. Continue to weed it. Continue to spend time in the... Continue to do all the things you did that got you here. Or you're going to become one of those really quick. Go ahead and take a moment, fill out your Connect cards. In just a moment, Seth will be back up with some final instructions.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.